we've been more recently considering this whole idea of pursuing godliness. And really, pursuing godliness is another way of saying walk with the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Again, I remind you that salvation is not a doctrine that you're simply supposed to accept and tick off on your checklist of things I believe. Salvation is a person. It is a you personally being involved with the Savior. Salvation is a word that describes what a Savior does, right? It's not just Christian stuff. It's not just be a Christian. It is be involved with the Savior. And when we use this phrase, walk with God, we take that from the Old Testament. The idea there is, as you live your life, you're more and more involved with God because He wants to be involved with you. And it is out of that personal communion with God that we are helped. Well, pursuing godliness, more recently we've come to see that that involves spiritual disciplines. And so I've sort of tweaked the title of this, and I want to continue with what we were considering last week, a spiritual discipline that is absolutely essential for us, and that is called giving thanks. I don't mean just, you know, when somebody puts you on the spot and says, Warren, what are you thankful for? And then he has to quickly come up with the words to say something. And by the way, that's not to say that Warren isn't thankful. If you know Warren at all, he is a very thankful person. I'm not talking about what to say when you're put on the spot. I'm talking about a way of your life that can help you in the midst of this down here, rugged, fallen world. A way in God. I want to remind you again, Jesus did not say, blessed are the ones who hear my words. He said, blessed is the one who hears my words and does them. There has to be this thought in our hearts that walking with God is not a mental thing. It is an action. We're not to be passengers. We're not to live life passively. It is a participation sport. It really is. And that's why we need to consider developing practices that help us. Let's quickly read a few passages of Scripture. For the sake of time, I'm just going to read them to you. We're going to read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 10, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 through 18, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21. And you know what? The last one we'll all read together. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. Again, 1 Timothy, for the sake of those taking notes and who are hearing this on a recording, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. You know what? I don't think that's right. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 through 21, and then Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. I think I changed that Timothy reference. I did. It's 1 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. Sorry. In pointing out these things to the brethren, Paul says to Timothy, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul writes to the Thessalonian church and he says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians, therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. And now let's read this last passage together, out loud and together. Let's begin. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, hallelujah, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. If you're bowed down today because you're so filled with what you did wrong, hallelujah, the Lord pardons all our iniquities. If you're afraid because you've got some condition in your body that is scaring you because of what it could be, well, hallelujah, the Lord heals all our diseases. And if your life is more in line with this world and more in line with death and destruction and discouragement, well, hallelujah, He redeems our life from the pit. If God is with us, we've got good reason to be encouraged and expect help this morning. Very quickly to review. One of the things that we've come to conclude is walking with God is something that actually takes some thought. It actually takes some consideration on your part. We read a couple of passages in previous times that talk about walking with God or pursuing godliness needing discipline, training, not spanking merely, but training, and that it needs a pursuit. You've got to be actively involved with it. It needs discipline, it needs pursuing, and most recently, we saw that that requires developing spiritual disciplines. Things that we practice to help us lay hold of things that God has made possible. And the challenge there is we have to learn to walk in view of things that we cannot see that are just very true when we're so used to just going by sight. You know, if you wake up if it happens then too. But if you wake up in the morning I'm sure this is the case. So I don't even know that I need to ask if anybody has happened. But in the hopes that I can relate to you, that I'm not a giraffe and you guys are all wondering, what are you talking about? Have you ever woken up in the morning depressed, for the lack of a better way of putting it? Just, nothing's going right. My goodness. And then, you know, the day starts off like that and just sort of descends from there on in. I'm a person who's generally pretty cheerful, but I certainly have had that happen to me. You know, it could have been a great day the day before, but I wake up and it's just like a cloud over me. Can you relate to that? Can you imagine it at least, even if you can't relate to it, that there are people like that? If you're in that circumstance and you are so used to judging things just by how you feel and how you see things, would you know that God loves you? How do you know that God loves you? One of the things that God wants to train us is that we don't judge truth based on our feelings and what we can see. There is a deeper reality. You know, here I am, I wake up depressed thinking my whole life is a mess, but a deeper reality is that God loves me and that has paid a price to redeem me. Just because it seems that way to my natural senses or to my natural reasoning doesn't mean it's what's really true. But I'm sure you can understand, and you probably know people, if you aren't that person yourself, people who are so tied to how they feel. They're so tied to what's going on in their circumstances. And this is an example of why God wants to train us. It's not that God is making life hard. It's that there is a reality that goes beyond just what the natural senses can discern. And God wants you to learn to walk in view of it. How do you do that? How do you learn to walk in truth beyond what you can see with your natural senses when that's what you're so used to? Well, God teaches us. And He says, this takes practice. You know, when a baby is born, I'm pretty sure this is correct. If anybody knows better than me the anatomy of human beings, you can certainly correct me. I'm pretty sure when that baby is born, they have every single muscle that an adult would have. Right? They have biceps, triceps, quadriceps, whatever, all those different muscles, they're all in place. But why is it a baby lies, you know, just flops there, but an adult can withstand the force of gravity on their life and stand? It's not because the adult has different muscles. It's because the adult's muscles have been trained. The adult's muscles have gained a practice to resist a force that is against them, and it allows them to stand. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Right? The baby is destined to walk if there's everything is fine with the baby, but those muscles have to be trained. Coordination has to be learned. Right? But inherently, that baby has the same capacity. It's just that there's a training necessary. Now, we just take it for granted. We don't necessarily see that a baby gets trained to walk. It's something that just happens so naturally as they grow that we don't perceive. There's actually a training going on. There is a development of things that are already possible going on. And likewise with us, walking in the realm of the Spirit. We are made for it. If you're born again, we are made for it. But just like that baby who doesn't know how to respond to gravity, we need to be trained. And this is why God talks to us. And I will say, just like that baby who at first falls flat on their face when they start to stand, eventually they get it, just like with us. If we keep practicing what God says to practice, we'll get there. And I find that tremendously encouraging because I have every kind of excuse to think, this is not going to work for me. You know, I'm not one of those people who just easily it comes to them. That's not the case. Well, that is an opinion. We'll touch upon fact versus opinion down the road here. But when I say that about myself, in actual fact, that's not God telling me how he made me. That's me and my assessment based on how I'm feeling at that moment. Let's make sure that that's not somebody downstairs texting us saying, hey, where's the mic? Oh, good. It's not me. So, I want to remind you, and this is at the core of everything we talk about when we say we need to practice these things. I want you to shake away from your notion that walking with God is some mystical, fancy, fairy kind of thing that some people get and other people don't. It isn't like that. God teaches us how to walk. And it starts with this thought. God's love for me is perfect. He is perfect in his love for me. He isn't lying when he says, I love you. And remember who we're talking about. He's the one who sees you better than you see yourself. He's the one who knows what's going on in your life, what you think. He even knows the secret thoughts that you're not willing to admit to yourself. He knows all of that. He knows the things that you did in secret, and he still says, I love you. I love you. His love for us is perfect. And everything that motivates him in his dealings with you. So when he tells you, this is what I want you to do, it's motivated by one thing, a perfect love for you. He's not trying to get you to jump through hoops. He's not trying to get you to prove yourself to him. The notion that God is this punishing God waiting for you to step out of line so that he can just swat you upside the head is a diabolical, devilish idea about God. Diabolical and devilish is actually redundant there, but it's worth emphasizing. That is not what God is like. If that's what he was like, why did Jesus have to come? Why did he send his son? Why did he crush him on the cross? If all he was waiting for was opportunities to swat us upside the head, that was already there in place. And yet, he sent his son so that the wrath of God, there is such a thing as the wrath of God. God is angry about sin, but it was all poured out on Jesus. God is not sitting there waiting for you to step out of line. He loves you and wants to help you to walk. Everything he tells us, his commands to us about how to walk, do these things, it's because he loves you. It's never to make him look better. You and I and the entire world added together, doing everything perfectly and singing at the top of our voices, still would not come close to making him look as good as he really is. That is not his motivation. He just loves you. He really does. And the devil, as we saw last week, especially when we looked in Genesis, what he is always up to is undermining your thought about what God has said. Or more accurately, he is after undermining what God has said to you and get you to question, is that really the case? So for example, in Jesus, God is making a declaration to the world, I love you. And the devil works overtime, especially in the lives of young believers, not older believers, to undermine that thought. By undermine, I don't mean reject. Okay? The devil getting you to reject something takes a lot of work. But the devil getting you to question, is that really the case? That's not so hard if we're not on guard. The devil tries to undermine what God has said. your thought about the love of God, your thought about the depth of forgiveness. Let me ask you this question as an aside. How many of your sins have been forgiven? Three. In Norman's case, it's three. Have you ever considered what it means when Jesus says in the Scriptures, all my transgressions. He pardons all my transgressions. See, I can handle, kind of, he's forgiven all the transgressions that I've already committed, that I'm aware of. But this is God we're talking about. He has no past or present or future. He sees everything the same. All my sins means all the stuff I haven't even done yet. 5 years from now, Jesus paid for it. All my sins are forgiven me. All of them. All of them. The devil tries to come and undermine that. And God teaches us, don't let him. Don't let him. Too many Christians think that the devil, when he comes to do something, well, what am I going to do? There is coming a time when things will be seen for what they are. And everybody will see the devil for what they are, for what he is. And you know what the reaction is going to be? That pipsqueak is the one who pulled down nations? That little worm? That wimp? Everything about the devil is a show. A bluff. And God wants to bring us to a place where we see through the bluff. It doesn't happen by the strength of your intelligence. So hallelujah, those of us who aren't so smart, there's a way for us. It doesn't happen because you're just so perfect in your life and how well you behave. It happens because you listen to God and follow what he's saying. He wants to bring you to a place where you don't care what the devil is up to. You're not going to let him win. He can squawk all he wants, but at the end of the day, that's all it is, squawk. The scriptures say that the devil has an appointment with your feet. And Satan will be soon crushed under your feet. Now, to be fair, that's a passage worth expanding on at another time. It doesn't just mean whatever you choose to do, whatever happens, the devil's going to lose. There are too many places in our lives where the devil wins. But it's not necessary. And that's what God wants to bring us to a place to see. How do you respond to circumstances and situations? Well, if you're naturally minded, our tendency, when I say circumstances and situations, I mean bad circumstances and situations. The circumstance where everything is going your way, in some ways, actually, that is more dangerous for us than when things aren't going our way. But let's just say, let's just deal with what happens when life is not going so well. Things are not going the way you think it should. Our brother just told us about a circumstance where he's unjustly accused of something. And he really is unjustly accused. It's not like him telling us, I want you to think I have an excuse here. He really wasn't doing anything wrong, and yet he's been accused. If you're naturally minded about it, what's our tendency? If we're not listening to how God tells us to react, what do we tend to do? Well, looking at myself, if God doesn't help me, I'd grumble. This is just not fair. Stupid police. And off we go. And by the way, whatever you might think of the police, God says you should honor them. You get depressed, you get mad, people start swearing. That's how we naturally react. But if you have believed into Jesus, you are not just a natural person anymore. You're not locked to just what your experience down here tells you to do. God opens our eyes to see there is a better way for the sons and daughters of God to react. And one of those things, and this is a practice that we need to develop, is giving thanks. And here I want to talk about facts and opinions just for a moment. Okay, so I wake up in the morning. Let's say I have my a credit card bill has come like 2 weeks ago or three, 4 weeks ago. It was in my mind that I should pay it, but I forgot. And the time goes by, and time goes by, and time goes by, and maybe I'm not careful with how I take care of my paperwork, and that bill is just sitting in the drawer. And 4 weeks goes by, and I try to buy something, and the credit card purchase won't go through. Right? And it's something that I have to get. Like, this was a critical thing. You know, my wife was planning a party. We're all planning. Titus is going to go get these things. Now I can't make a purchase. And the whole thing is shot. And the first thoughts come to my mind, man, if I only wasn't so stupid. If I only wasn't so stupid. I forgot to pay my bill. I am a mess. Okay. In that little dialogue, what are the facts and what are the opinions? Fact. I didn't pay my bill, right? I am a mess. Fact or opinion? Opinion. Right? How could God love somebody like this? I always make a mistake. I never get it right. As believable as those things are, they're just an opinion. When God says something, we who have come to Jesus and believed, this needs to be our approach. When God says something, it's a fact. If God does not tell me I'm a mess up and I am completely a disaster, then it is not a fact. I may feel that way, I may think that way, and because I think that way, I may behave something like that, but it's not a fact if God hasn't said it. What are some facts that are pertaining to our life? Fact, God loves us. Fact, and maybe I need to take more time to expound on this, and I'll gladly do that at another time. God has prepared good things for us. Do you know what blessing means? What is a practical definition of blessing? It isn't just churchanese, you know, the Lord bless you, and nobody knows exactly what that means. What does it mean? It's not an easy thing to put a practical definition on, but let's take a shot at it. God bless you means this. May God himself come upon you and help you turn around the circumstance that you need to have turned around. May God himself come upon you. May you be guarded so that this weakness that you have is not a problem. Blessing has everything to do with God himself coming alongside to help you, right? The will of God for you is blessing. And I could prove that from so many different places. And I say that especially to the people who think that they are so messed up, there's no way God could bless. That's not true. The blessing of God is the will of God for you. So I would say that that's a fact. And in view of that, he says, I want you to learn to do this. In every circumstance, in every situation, I want you to learn the practice of giving thanks. You know, the world has its own way of putting it. I remember seeing a movie that said, that attitude of gratitude, it ain't just a platitude. You know, this idea that it's better to be thankful than not. But for the believer, for the one who is following in Jesus' footsteps, this is essential. We learn in all things to give thanks. You know, what does that involve? That means you've got to look beyond what this circumstance says, what the circumstance is. You've got to look beyond that to see something God has said. You know, so when you are confronted by the mistakes that you've made, by the disastrous choices that you've made, and everything is crushing in on you, in that circumstance, for you to give thanks, you got to look beyond what you are seeing naturally to something God has said. Are you with me? Thanksgiving, in all circumstances, requires you to look beyond what natural sense tells you. Now, if everything is going well for you, it's not hard to give thanks, you know? Monday morning, you win the lottery. Tuesday morning, you win the next lottery. Thursday morning, you know, your boss says, you're the best thing we've ever had. Let me give you a raise. Everything's just going your way. In that circumstance, even the dead would think about being grateful. You know, we have a celebration coming up in October called Thanksgiving, right? Which started off with a godly perspective. But in our time, Thanksgiving is anything. There are atheists who celebrate Thanksgiving. I try to figure out, who are you giving thanks to? They're just thankful. You know, it's a day to be thankful. Yeah, but to who? Well, just to be thankful. That is not what we're talking about. When everything is going well, even dead people, people who don't know the Lord, think to give thanks, or at least be grateful. For the believer, for you to give thanks in a difficult circumstance, that the world can't understand. And to a young believer who does not know the ways of God, they think, like, What's there to be thankful for? I just got a ticket that I didn't deserve. What's there to be thankful in that? You have to look beyond how things seem. Do you see why God is, how God is training us to be people who can live in a larger realm than just what we naturally detect? And that is essential for you to fulfill your purpose down here, that you live in view of the Spirit. Well, he starts training us with little things. In all things, give thanks. So if you're the person in the midst of a very difficult circumstance, and you're hearing God say, I want you in everything. This is to be your way of life. In all things, the first thing you do is, Father, I just give thanks to you. What do you have to do? You got to think about, what has God said? What has God done for me? You've got to look beyond the circumstances and say, but even in this, God has promised me good. And he will turn this to my benefit. Of course, that means you need to know what God has said. And that's why it is actually helpful to read your Bible. And it goes beyond that. But my point is, here is a very practical, nitty-gritty, rubber-hits-the-road kind of place where we have to step beyond just the natural into what God has said is true. And it requires a choice that directs your course. And my time is over here, so I don't want to go back to Ephesians, but you know what? There is something called being filled with the Spirit that is actually what is normal for you who have believed into Jesus that we need to consider more deeply. But at its core, you being a person who is more filled with God than the things around us, at its core is an attitude of thanksgiving. In all things you give thanks. And the last thing I want to say to you here is that it is a practice. Nobody walks with God by default. We are in a fallen world. Each one of us has experienced the effects of the fall. Nobody walks with God by accident, by default. It just kind of happens. If you see somebody who's really moving on with the Lord and you think it came very easily to them, don't be fooled. That person had to make choices. That person had to learn. You know, I think there are athletes among us. If you ever see me play a sport and then you see a person who actually knows how to play that sport, it wouldn't be difficult for me to say, oh, that just comes so naturally to that person. And I know this is a bit of a bad analogy because there are naturally gifted athletes, right? That's why there are people playing in the NHL that the rest of us aren't there. There are naturally gifted athletes. But even the naturally gifted athlete has to practice. People who go to the Olympics, they don't just sort of sit on their couch and then show up at the Olympics because they're just naturally gifted and win. That is not how it happens. There is a training that is required. And we are being trained for a spiritual realm that is not easy to perceive with our histories, with our natural experiences. And so God says, I want you to do this. In all things, give thanks. What do you have to immediately bring to mind in the midst of a crisis if you're going to give thanks in the midst of it? God loves me. God loves me. As you go through this week, I am sure you're going to encounter circumstances where in all things give thanks is a little bit harder than other circumstances. Practice. Dear brethren, practice. Just practice. God knows what he's doing with you. He knows how to help you. He knows how to bring you into the fuller, greater things that Jesus purchased for you. Step at a time. Practice. Start giving thanks. Make it your practice. You know, I wish I was an athlete, then I'd have some athletic analogies to draw.
Okay. Okay. I just discovered wakeboarding this summer.
Okay.
And I did it the first time. Totally got it, by the way.
I think that's a good analogy. Let me make it personal and talk about skating. True or false? Skating is a natural action for human beings. False. I don't care if you're Wayne Gretzky, if you're Sidney Crosby, you did not naturally skate. You learned to skate. Right? But having learned, You can do it without even thinking about it. I'm sure those hockey players, they don't have to think, okay, remember balance, balance. They don't think like that. It just comes naturally to them. The fact that each one of us in this room know how to walk is an indication that we can learn to do things that at first was not natural. So, let's learn a spiritual practice. Wakeboarding, whatever it might be. We have so many examples around us of the need for training, the need for practice. Well, take this on board. Make it your goal in this week. Even if it's not the first reaction, you end up in all things giving thanks. Did you notice that God said in all things, everything, give thanks? Take it on. Take it on. In this week, good or bad, whatever happens, find a reason to give thanks to the Lord. I'm not saying to you, take some sort of tranquilizer and just, hey, everything's okay. I'm not talking about being blissed out somehow on drugs. I'm not talking about becoming oblivious to what's happening to you. I'm not talking about not caring about what's happening. Doesn't matter. I'm just thankful. I mean very deliberately, thoughtfully, purposefully, in the midst of your circumstances, give thanks. Defy the adversary's conclusion about what you're going through by saying, God is worthy of my thanks here. God is worthy of my thanks here. I don't know how he's going to turn this around. I don't know how he will, but he will. And I thank you, Lord. Let's give thanks as our way forward here. I remind you, if you want someone to pray with you about anything, including, you know, I'm not even sure that I'm really a part of what God is doing because I don't know that I've given my life to him. I'll be glad to talk with you and pray with you. And there are other people here. You don't have to come to me. But let's just give thanks to the Lord.